All right, good evening, everyone. We're glad that you're out today for the service here at Calvary Baptist Church Academy, or church, I'm sorry. I've been working on school stuff all day, and so I'm kind of got that in my brain. But anyway, we're glad you're out for church today, and we're thankful that you are here, and we can have prayer service and worship the Lord together. So we thank the Lord for everyone being here. Let's start by singing some songs. We'll go to 529. 529, if you have your songbook, it is, "There Shall Be Showers of Blessings."
There shall be showers of blessing, this is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord, and to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
And let's open in a word of prayer. Thank you, dear Father, for the wonderful day today and the chance that we have to come and fellowship together and worship together, and we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we know that you've been protecting us and keeping us, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your grace and kindness each day. We're thankful for our wonderful salvation. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless each one, encourage our hearts, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go to 545. We can't do this literally, bring them in, but we can do it spiritually. We can still talk to people and witness and bring them into the household of faith. And so we'll go to bring them in.
Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out on the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in, from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Look, oh, and help this shepherd kind, help him the wandering ones to find, who bring the lost ones to the fold, where they'll be sheltered from the cold. Bring them in, from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Out in the desert, hear their cry. Out on the mountains, wild and high. Hark, 'tis the Savior speaks to thee. Go find my sheep where'er they be. Bring them in, from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring the wandering once to Jesus.
And then we'll go over just a page to 547. Bring or give of your best to the Master. We're to give the best that we have to our Lord Jesus Christ. 547.
Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Armed with the sword of salvation, join in the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. His life for others he gave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Wholly surrendered each part. Give and to you shall be given. God, his beloved Son gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom. Gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur. You from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have.
All right, before we have our final song, I think I'll go ahead and go over some of the announcements and things that are going on. A couple of things maybe to announce. One is communion. We're not going to do that this Sunday, being Easter Sunday, but we want to do that next Sunday. And Brother Henderson has gotten some of those little packet things that have the juice and the wafer all in a sealed container. And so we have that available out in front of the high school building. There's a file cabinet with hand wipes and Lysol and the pumpy stuff with alcohol. And you can use that. And so to retrieve these items, there's 100 of them there. So if your family wants to do that, we will have communion not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. You can come by and pick those up. If you just happen to have crackers and juice in your house, you can use that, of course, if you happen to have your own. So you wouldn't have to come and pick it up, but that is available. So we'll be doing that. And then Brother Schwanke contacted me about having a service and doing it by video like this. He says he's preached at one service. And so we're looking into getting that and getting the dates all arranged for that. I'm not sure how all that's going to work out exactly yet. But we're talking with him about getting all of that arranged. So hopefully we'll be able to still have the services that we were planning, albeit video instead of live. Okay, so those are some of the announcements that are going on and things that are happening here. And continue to pray for one another. I do keep getting some various updates from different people telling me things that are going on and what's happening in their lives. And so we're thankful for that. And we just praise the Lord for all of his kindnesses and goodnesses. All right, let's go to 534 now. Send them. No, I'm saying it wrong. Send the light. Send the light. And a wonderful gospel song. Send the light.
As the clock comes ringing, all the restless waves, send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to is short. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace be everywhere about. Send the light, send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
All right, thank my wife for playing and the men for coming and recording and doing all the work that is necessary to get these services out. We thank everyone who is participating and helping in all of these things. Our scripture today, we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And so we want to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are days of confusion and ministry. You know, how are we to minister? What are we to do? How are we to minister in such times when you can't really talk to people and you're supposed to stay 6 feet away from people and all this kind of thing? How are you to minister to people? Well, the scripture lays out for us what the Apostle Paul was doing there in the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he talks to us about our ministry. What is to be our ministry? What is it that we are to do? What, as Christians, are we to be accomplishing for the Lord? And so we're going to look at that basic theme there tonight as to what is our ministry. In 2 Corinthians 4, beginning at verse 13, it says, "We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so here he is going to talk to us today about our ministry. What is it that we are to be doing for the Lord? And you notice here as he begins in verse number 13, he says, "I believed, and therefore I have spoken." We believe. This is what we do. Because of what we believe, there are certain things that are there. We believe certain truths to be so, and that is what part of our ministry. Part of our ministry is simply to accept what God has said, to believe the message that the Lord has for us. And because of what we believe, we know certain things. He says here to us that we know the spirit of truth. We have the same spirit of faith or spirit of truth that is there. Now, the text calls it the spirit of faith, and I refer to it as the spirit of truth, but it's the same one. It is the Holy Spirit. He is that spirit of faith. It is he who produced that faith within us and allowed us to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that same body of truth that is contained in the scriptures, and that is that same message of faith that we have believed, and so we know the very spirit of faith. We also know God, as it says there in 14. He says, knowing that he That is referring to God. God raised Christ up from the dead. And we know that it was God who did these things. He has told to us in the scriptures that it was God. And so we're trusting the Lord. We're believing God. And we also know the very plan of salvation that God has made plain unto us. And so there are certain truths we know. We believe these things that we know. We know these things and we believe them to be factual and we believe them to be true and we accept them as that is what is real. And because of the things that we have believed and know, we believe because of what we're confident of. Notice here, he says here that we, according as written, I believe, therefore I have spoken, for we believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. We know that Christ was raised up by, or God was raised up the Lord Jesus Christ. And because Jesus has been raised up, we know we too are going to be raised up. We have this very confidence. We are confident, first off, that Jesus arose. Of course, this is Easter Sunday or Easter week, and we'll be looking at that on Sunday of how Christ arose from the grave. And the wonderful evidence that is there in the fact that Christ arose from the grave. We know it's true because of what the scripture tells to us. And we are also confident that God is going to raise us up. We who are in Christ will be raised with Christ just as he was raised. Because he lives, we shall live also. And so we have this confidence. We are confident. We believe. We know what the spirit of faith says. We know God. We know what's going on. We believe and are confident in these things. But third, we believe or we trust because of what we hope for. In verse 14, it ends with, and shall present us with you. This was Job's great hope. He said, I know that in my flesh I shall see God. Job was looking for that. Abraham was looking for a city and a builder whose maker was God. Yes, the Old Testament saints were looking for that opportunity to be presented before God. And we know that we are going to be presented before God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's coming a day when we are going to be presented to God, and we are going to stand before the Lord. And so there's certain things that we hold to and we believe in this day when many people are confused and when many people are drifting away from the faith and when many people don't know what's going on and when many people are confused, we stand upon the old-fashioned faith that says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day and he's coming again to receive us unto himself that where he is, we shall be also. We have that confidence. We have that hope. We have that knowledge. And so we are those in these days of confusion and difficulty. This is the ministry we have to stand firm, believing in the faith that we have. But also, Paul says here in verse 13, having the same spirit of faith as according as it is written, I believed and therefore I have spoken. This is a quote from Psalm 110. The psalmist there saw what the Lord was doing, and he, because he saw, he believed, and he spoke out, and he was speaking out real literally about his affliction. The part where Paul stops, the next part there in the Psalms is that I was afflicted. I believed, and I was afflicted. And so he was afflicted, and he was speaking out, and he was trusting the Lord. Paul, the psalmist, spoke of his affliction. And the Apostle Paul spoke about his affliction. But here we see that the faith, people who have faith and who know the things we talked about, are people who are going to speak. You believe, you're going to speak. You're going to go out. You're going to speak. You're going to talk. You're going to let your witness go out. Now, it might be different than we've done it before. Maybe you've before, you know, just talked to people as you met them and you were kind and spoke out to people and witnessed to people and talked to people at work and did things like that. Well, now we can't really do all those sorts of things. It's a little more difficult here for this month or two that we are in this difficulty. But that doesn't mean we have to remain silent. We can still speak to people through our phone, through our computer, through our various social media platforms, all those things. I'll just use that word because I don't know what they all are. So I'll just say that. And you can reach out to people and you can still give out the gospel and you can still speak for Christ. We can still speak about salvation and we can still speak about affliction. You say, well, affliction? Yes, affliction. Do you know affliction is part of God's plan? After that, he has suffered a while to present you faultless before his throne. It is an important part of God's plan to use affliction in the life of his children. He uses that to conform us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it is an important part of what's going on. And so we can speak about these things. You know, if it hadn't been for this, affliction that has come upon the church here so that we can't meet, I would never be on Facebook. I can tell you that. That would have just not been up there on the list of things in my brain that what ought to be doing. You know, we ought to be getting out there on Facebook. Why do we need to do that? People come to church. We just worship together. We don't need to do that. Why should we do? But God moved us, didn't he? God said, now, wait a minute. Here's an opportunity. You need to get over there. And obviously, you're not going to move in there because you're a dinosaur, so I'm just going to give you a little shove there. I'm just going to move you along into the 21st century. I'm just going to push you from behind, and right there, you're going to go into all of these sorts of things. And I'm using all kinds of technologies and things now and doing stuff I'd never done before. I think I managed to get some videos up of my teaching in class onto something or other, some form, and give kids permission to actually look at it, I think, I hope. I spent about 5 hours trying, but I'm hoping that it's there. And so a couple people said it was. So I'm hoping. But you know, we're learning. We're doing all these things, and that's all right. We're using these different ways of reaching people. And while it may be affliction and it may be a pain, and it's like, oh, why do I have to do all this? And well, you know, all the difficult. Hey, it is what God is using. It's the means that God is using. And you know, there's a lot of places in our world where the economy is, people are shut down, where the governments hold down their people and they don't let the gospel get in. And yet, electronic signals can sometimes get in. And these messages can sometimes get there. And people can sometimes see these things. And they can reach around the world and reach people in need. And so we who believe need to be we who speak. We believe and we speak. This is how we minister in these days. We also endure. In verse 15, he says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now, back in verse 11, we saw that Paul here suffered for Jesus' sake. He was delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And here in this verse, he identifies the church with Christ. The church also is suffering, and it is going through these things, and it is part of our identification with Christ. He says, all things. And when he's speaking of these all things, he's talking about the things he's been talking about. He's talking about the afflictions. He's talking about the difficulties of getting out the gospel. He's talking about all of the problems that are there within the churches. He's talking about all of these matters. So he's referencing these very things. He is speaking of getting out the gospel. And we endure. Why do we endure? We endure that others might experience the grace of God made known through the gospel. Why do we endure? So that others can know the grace of God. The grace of God is made known to us how? Through the gospel. And it takes some endurance to get that out. It's not always easy. It's sometimes difficult. You know, missionaries want to go out to different places around the world and preach the gospel. It's sometimes hard. They can't just get up and go. They've got to raise money. They've got to travel around. And then when they get out there, there's obstacles. Many a missionary has gone. And in early days, many of them faced all kinds of problems. There was problems of language, and they had to learn the language. And then they had to write the Bible in a language the people could understand. And then they had to communicate the Bible. And oftentimes they spent years and years and got almost what would seem to us nothing accomplished. But no, they were laying the groundwork. And others have come behind, and the gospel has spread. And it is believed that it may be by the end of this very century that the gospel will be, the Bible will be written in every single known language around the world, down to people of, who speak languages of only like 200 people speak it. And so it is a message, the gospel is going out, it is reaching the ends of the world. And that is why people endure all of these things and why they go through all the troubles and the difficulties. We go through these things and we keep going and we don't give up and we don't get discouraged and we don't quit and we sometimes have problems, you know, and there are discouragements in the work of the Lord. As you work for the Lord and you work with people, they don't always do the right thing and they often make mistakes and they often disappoint you and you know, you want to give up sometimes, but no, we keep going. Why? Because the grace of God is made known through the gospel, and we care that others receive it. Further, we endure so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Now, that's kind of a long sentence, but one of the reasons we endure is so that grace, as it's going out and reaching more and more people, more and more people are going to be giving thanks to God. And that is going to glorify God. It's going to bounce back to the glorification of God, or as the King James puts it, redound, a great old English word meaning to recoil, to come back upon. Okay, they give the thanksgiving and that brings glory to God as people are praising and exalting Him. And so within this sentence, there are two views, two purposes are in view. There's what they call the penultimate and the ultimate view, which nobody knows what that means. So the lesser and the greater, okay? The lesser view is that people may experience the grace of God. That's the reason that we endure, so that people may know that God is merciful, that God is kind, that He is gracious and good. Why do we not just give up and quit and take an easier job and just do something simple? Because it is the calling of God to get the grace of God out to a world in need. And then secondly, though, the ultimate purpose is that thanksgiving should redound to the glory of God. That is the ultimate goal. Yes, our goal is to let people know of His grace to them, and that's important. But ultimately, the reason we're letting the grace go out and telling people of this message of salvation is so that God will be thanked and He will be glorified. That's the most important thing. It is the chief end of man to glorify God. The old Westminster Catechism had it right. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is the chief end of man. That is what we are to do. We are created to have fellowship with Him. And so it is that it is our job and our responsibility to go through these days, these difficulties, these problems, to endure these things. Why? So that the gospel can reach people's hearts, so that people will praise and exalt God, so that thanksgiving will come back to the Lord. That's what we're doing. And so we endure. We believe certain things. We speak certain things. We endure certain things. But then we also do not lose heart. In verse 16 to 18, we have some wonderful verses. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, outwardly we may be wasting away, but inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Now, this contrast here is not between the flesh and the spirit. That might be what people would think of, that it is talking about your outward flesh, your old body is wasting away, and your soul is being renewed day by day, your spirit being renewed day by day. No, the idea here is between physical life and glorified life. We are a whole. God looks at us as a whole. He sees us as having body, soul, and spirit. And eternally, we're going to have body, soul, and spirit. We are going to be made up of an eternal being. We're not just going to be a disembodied spirit floating around. We're going to have a body, a new body, a body where that is fit for eternity and for heaven. And so here is the contrast. He's talking about while this life and the situations of this life and our spirit here and our bodies here, you know, our spirit is inhabiting this old worn out body that's breaking down and things are tough. And, you know, for the Apostle Paul, there's no doubt all those beatings and all of those afflictions and all those sufferings, No doubt his body was breaking down. But as his body was breaking down and his spirit here was weakened because he could no longer do the things he needed to do, guess what? He's coming a day when the Lord's coming back. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to have a brand new body. And he's going to have a brand new mind and a spirit and a whole new energy and ability to serve the Lord. And so while he may be wasting away, as he says here in this passage, and back in chapter 1 in verse 8, he mentions the same kind of a thing. He says, "For we are not ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch as we despaired of life, and we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God, which raises the dead." So see, there's the contrast that he is pointing out, the very contrast that he is bringing forth. And thus, we are being renewed. He tells us there in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. He says in chapter 12, verse number 2, "And we are not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." We are to be renewed. We're to be made better. And God is doing that very work. In Ephesians chapter 3, in verse 16, he tells us this, "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." And so God daily strengthens us and encourages us and helps us. And again, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10, it tells us this, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And so here we are being renewed. And while outwardly we may seemingly be wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, so that we can endure until such time as when we receive that new body. And then in verse 17, he says here, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment." We face afflictions, yes we do, but you know what? They're light and they are momentary. Now I know sometimes we don't have that attitude. When we go through these things, you know, we want to sing the old song, "Nobody Knows the Troubles I've Seen." You know, we all want to go to that old spiritual and, you know, "Nobody Knows but Jesus." And we want to feel like, you know, we have been afflicted above everybody else, and there's no one who's ever suffered like we have suffered. When the truth is, our afflictions are light, and they are momentary. What is your life? It is but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and it vanisheth away. You know, you can probably, like many of us, remember back years ago, and it's like it was yesterday. Your mind goes back 40 years ago, and you think to yourself, what happened to those years? What happened to those times? What happened to those, you know, all of that? It's like I just turned around and those days are gone. Our life goes so quickly. It moves so fast. These afflictions that we face are but for a moment. They appear to us, they come to us, and they go away. It will get better. And so keep enduring. Remember that our afflictions are just for a little while. We don't need to lose heart. We've got a new body coming, and we need not fear. He says, "For we know that our afflictions are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs our afflictions." It's as if he puts it on the scale. He has one of those scale things. You know, I have one that I use for Bible school, you know, painted green and blue and all exciting. And I put the buckets on there and the kids come up and they put their offerings in there and they try to see which side brought the most offerings and they get all excited and they yell. And I, you know, kind of cheat and hold the arm up and down and I don't let it go and I work on it, you know, and they're all screaming, yelling at me, "Let it go, let it go, let's," you know, they want to know. And I just keep playing dumb and, you know, we keep doing it, having a good time with it. And he says, "All right, here's what's going on. Over here on the one side, you got the offering bucket. And over here, there's the affliction. And it's like there's one little penny in there. And over here, there's the eternal weight of glory. And that bucket is overflowing with pennies galore. It has filled the bucket and overflowing on the ground. And it is just laid flat down. Here's your little light afflictions. Here's the eternal weight of glory. Your little afflictions don't add up to anything. And we need to remember that our afflictions, while they are light, they are achieving something. They are achieving an eternal weight of glory. They are building in us something that is valuable beyond all understanding. It is weighty. It is important. And so part of God's plan for transforming and renewing us is in affliction. Romans 8:17 says that we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. And so what a blessing that God is working there. We know that our afflictions are light and they're momentary, but they are working out something much better. They are working out an eternal weight of glory. Not merely just something weighty and important, but something eternal that will never pass away. So don't get discouraged. Keep going for the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Keep moving. And then in verse 18, he says, while we look at the things which are not seen. Wow. How can you look at something that's not seen? Well, there's a couple ways of thinking about that. You might be saying, well, it's talking about the fact that he is looking at the things that most people don't look at. And that could well be what he's talking about. But it's also kind of paradoxical in his language when he speaks in that way. He says, we look at things that you can't even see. We look at things that are not temporal. We look at things that are eternal. We are looking at things there. We are fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Colossians chapter 1, chapter 3 and verse 1, it says this here, if I can get to Colossians, I know it's there. Colossians 3 and verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. That's where our affections are to be. They're to be fixed upon Jesus. Our focus is to be upon the eternal. Right now, all you see might be hard and bad and difficult and fearful and scary and all kinds of things and, you know, all these manners. That may be what we see. Yet what is not yet visible is a world in which righteousness reigns, a kingdom whose builder and maker is God, a kingdom where the Lord will sit upon a heavenly throne, where we will all sit under our own vine and our own fig tree, where there will be no more sickness, sorrow, or death forever, where we'll walk on streets of gold. You know, we don't pave streets with gold around here. In heaven we do, because gold is worthless. It's of no value in that place. What a place we are going to. We need to keep looking up. And so this is our ministry. We believe certain things, and because we believe certain things, we keep speaking. And because we keep speaking, we have troubles, and we just keep enduring those troubles. Why? Because we know that we're going to be victorious. We're not going to lose heart. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're going to keep going on for God. Now, I know some are probably a little downhearted, you know, and discouraged at this instant. Some of the folks in our church are single and, you know, live by themselves. And I'm sure it's lonely and they can't get out to see people and visit. And I know some, you know, really miss being at church and would like to be out and fellowshipping together. And I understand that. But just remember, but this is but for a light affliction, but for a moment. God is doing great things. He is going to accomplish great things. And we need to keep ministering for the Lord. We need to keep going on for God. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity now to think about these things here in the book of 2 Corinthians. We pray they might be a blessing to us. They might be an encouragement, that they might encourage our hearts. Now, Lord, we pray that as we go into prayer time, that might be a blessing to us as well to be able to bring our petitions and our requests unto you. And so we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of things there to remember. Of course, remember all of the people in our nation, the folks that may be sick and the difficulties that they're going through. Remember our leaders, to give them wisdom to do the right thing. Remember our ones who are single that are in the church who may be discouraged and, you know, by themselves and not able to get out and all of those things. I know it's lonely. So remember to encourage them to keep going for the Lord. Keep praying that everybody will stay healthy. So far as I know, everybody in the church is healthy and we don't have any sickness going around other than maybe a few people are getting allergies from all the beautiful flowers that are coming out. But just pray for those things. And just pray that God will continue to meet the needs and to keep us and to help us through all of these troubles. So let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon our church. Father, we are so thankful for the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the wonderful salvation that is ours. Lord, we know that You have done all things well. You are our great Heavenly Father. You are worthy of all praise and glory, both now and evermore. For You are working an eternal weight of glory, and we give You thanks and we give You praise, for You are worthy of all things. And Lord, we seek to do those things which are pleasing in Thy sight, those things which would bring honor and glory unto You. We pray, Father, that You will work in our lives and encourage us and help us to be found faithful in our service for You, that we might be a holy and a righteous people. We ask You, dear Lord, to meet the needs. Lord, You know what those are. You know the emotional and mental needs of some who may be discouraged and going through these kinds of problems now with loneliness. We pray that You encourage. We pray, Lord, that You will keep our church healthy, that You'll keep us from these illnesses. We do think of our fellow citizens who are sick. We pray that, Lord, You might touch their bodies and give healing. We pray for our doctors and for our nurses and firemen and policemen and ambulance workers and all those that are protecting us. We think of our military who are guarding us as well. We pray, Father, that You might protect them and keep them, and that, Lord, You might help them to accomplish that work that they need to do in getting people well. And so, Father, we pray for Thy blessing on that. We pray for our political leaders. May You give them wisdom to do the right things, that, Lord, we might be able to have that opportunity of leading a quiet and peaceable life. I think about the economic problems that are going on right now, Lord, as a result of this, so many people being put out of work and not getting their checks because they're not able to go to work. And so, Father, we pray that these programs that the government has instituted may be helpful, that they might be able to get out quickly, that the that they will not be a burden to people and have to wait many months. And so, Father, we just pray for patience on all, that these things can get out and be a blessing. And so we ask for Your blessing and help in this. We ask You, dear Father, as well, too, for our school and the ministries there. We pray that we can continue to reach the young people with the gospel, and that we can continue to teach and to impart knowledge and help them to grow. And Lord, we know things are different, and it's easy to not be participating as you're sitting there at home. But Father, we pray that the kids will, and that they will learn and they will grow. And so we ask for Your blessing there, Father. And Lord, again, we're just thankful for Your many blessings, how good You've been to us. Lord, we just would spend the day being reminded of all Your blessing. You sent us the rain that we need for the crops to grow. You sent us the sunshine to make the sugars in the plants. And Lord, we are so thankful for all of Your blessings, all of Your goodness, how gracious You are to us and how kind. And now, Lord, we pray that You might also forgive us our sin. We know that we are not a perfect people. We sin, Lord, we do wrong. And Lord, we are told to confess our sins, and You're faithful and just to forgive us. And so, Lord, we come in confession, recognizing our inabilities, our lacks, our failures, the things we have neglected to do, the wrong attitudes we've had, and the lack of fellowship that we have given. And Lord, we pray that You would forgive us of these things, and that, Lord, as we go forth to serve You, it might be a great blessing. And so, Lord, encourage us, help us. We need You, and we long for You. And Father, we pray that even today might be that day when our Lord Jesus would come. And so until then, Lord, help us to be busy in the ministry You've given us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and have a great week.